Well, good evening. Welcome to our Wednesday night prayer session, and so glad you're with us here tonight. And welcome all those out there in Facebook land, and if you're listening to the 88.1 FM. And speaking of the 88.1 FM, we have received our FM headphones today. We've got six of them for the time being, and for those of in the congregation here that are hard of hearing and would like to have one, come see us Sunday morning, and we will fix you up where you can hear the message loud and clear. So let's start our service off tonight, number 187, In the Garden. Let's all stand and sing.
To see all of you tonight. If you're on Facebook or listening over the radio, it is also, even though I can't see you, it's good to be with you. Thankful you've made the effort to come out. Tonight we're going to be in the book of Galatians, Galatians chapter 5. And so that puts us in, Sunday morning we were in Philippians, Sunday night we were in Ephesians, and this evening we're in Galatians. We're hitting all of Paul's letters. We're giving them equal opportunity as we study. We'll be in Galatians chapter 5, beginning in verse 16. But it is good to be with you today and thankful for the beautiful weather that we've had. And it's just a blessing and beautiful of the things that we see. And it's going to get even more prettier as the begins to everything turning green. Again, we'll be in the book of Galatians chapter 5. And just to remind you that nobody loves you like your Savior. Nobody loves you like Jesus. Nobody's done so much for you as Jesus. And if you'll let him, he'll do even greater things than you could ever imagine. I know that we've got many prayer needs tonight. But do we have any words of praise or testimony before we go? Any further? Praise. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. Anyone else? I'm thankful I've got my truck's got lights now. Praise the Lord. Thanks to Brother Keith. He helped that. He did it, basically. He didn't help. He did it. And I just looked at him. I watched him with eagerness. Thankful for that. Any other words of praise tonight before we go any further? We do want to give praise that Sister Teresa Cobb has went through her surgery and came out, and it seems that everything went well. Lord willing, I'll see her sometime tomorrow. I want to pray for her. But in the way of prayer needs tonight, we want to remember the lost. It was just me and Brother Ted yesterday, but had a good time, and I know those that weren't here were praying where they were. Also, we want to pray for the backslidden, those that's drifted away. And, you know, it's tough sometimes to just be reminded that sin separates us from God, but Jesus came to draw us close, but yet we don't want to turn over that sin to him. You know, it's just something we allow sin to do what sin's meant to do, and all we have to do is confess it, and he throws it out the way and draws us close to him again. And that's a wonderful truth. We want to pray for those that are bereaved, those that are depressed, those that's dealing with the COVID-19 and the effects of it. The war and VBS, June the 13th through the 15th. Let's be covering that in prayer. And the elections that are coming up in October, I think. And then remember Recovery Through Christ and Brother Jack. Sister Tina. Also, the band is leaving tomorrow morning about 6:30, I believe, and so we want to pray for them. Continue to remember Brother Danny Roten and Sister Sherry as they're, and the whole family, Sister Nancy and Mr. Leonard, as they're dealing with all that's the healing process, Lord willing. And then also, I think Sister Sherry's got some dental work got to be done too, and y'all know how I feel about dentists and all that. Talmadge just had his wisdom teeth cut out 2 weeks ago. Then we want to remember Imogen Street, Herschel Johnson. I hope I say this on that. Joe Alcoa, Bo Taylor is in surgery now from what last I was told. John Austin, Jared Collins. This is a friend and brother in Christ that's in police school, police training. And then also brother Jared, next door neighbor, he's in, and Jared Glass, he's also in some training for security at the prison. So pray for them. Linda Frazier, Margaret Lester, Michelle Bristow, Tony Barnes, Chuck and Jean Dennison, Jean Phantom, Wayne and Larry Bledsoe, Melanie Lester, Kathy Kynes, Sister Moselle, Ruth and Nick Roden, John Austin, Ashley, a little girl with cancer, Anthony, who needs salvation, and dealing with cancer, J.D. Nielsen, John Bryce, Jeanette Carter, Tommy Mullins, Wilma Daniels, Pam and Jasper Brown, Mary Jane Carter, Wilma Williams, Susan Lassiter, Michael Starnes, Karen McDavid, Charlie Taylor, the Stenicky family, the Scott family, Lisa Eastep, Billy Carter, Aiden Jordan, Kathy Baldwin, Sherry Dean Cooper, Miranda Caldwell, Dr. Awan, Mickey Gillum, Rhonda Doran, Larry Tomlinson, Mike Brown, Gail Stidham, Denny Lemon, Cindy Osborne, Vanessa Lawson, Jerry and Geneva Flannery, Paul Davis, Daryl Green, Deborah Taylor, Candy Worth, Leslie and Daryl, Kim and Dale Owens, Jimmy Taylor, Hazel Dingus, Shalene Harris, Brittany Grindstaff, Daryl Hurd, Junior Wade, Brother Roger and Sister Virginia, Teresa Holden, Maggie Statzer, Betty McCorkle, Heather Markham, Kevin Tigner, Buddy McNutt, Steve Smith, Jason Knight, Pam Savarsky, and Jesse Bull, Margaret Williams, CC Family, Debbie Starnes, Terry Biller, Brandon Johnson, Randy Meeks, Chuck Kearney, Penny Horton, Kathy Smith, Charlotte Bishop, Charlene Lofton, C. Edmonds, Shannon Haynes, the Evans family, J.T. and Gladys Jones, Billy Joe Robinson family, Rhea and Ruth Osborne, Justin Bowen, Paul and Thomas Stoyer, Carol Carter, Ezekiel Jordan, Robbie and Daniel Jordan, Eddie and Chris Barnett, Ethan Bowen, Daisy Richards, Dakota McQueen, Chris and Jennifer Strange, Judy Webb, Tyler and Donna Haas, David and Felicia Cantrell, Lance and Sabrina Stollard, Mr. Pippin, Haley Webb, Carol Dishner, Darlene Porter, Rhonda Bryant, Jalen and Scott Bledsoe, John and Carmine Shoup, Chelsea LeBlanc, Brenda Stevens, and Miss Wilma Jean Tomlinson. Sister Wilma has a lot of swelling in her legs, and basically it's splitting open and going out. Her legs are huge, but they're having to keep them wrapped with ACE bandages right now, and she's supposed to be going to the doctor, but it's very painful. And so continue, but she's tough. She's tough. I had a good visit with her and her daughter with Brother Otis today. Also, Steve Neff, a pastor at Thompson Settlement dealing with cancer. Linda Jackson, Helen Bowen, Liza Fletcher, Brother Hoyt and Sister Phyllis, Lottie Johnson, Frank and Cecilia Pennington, Randall Leedy Gunner, Mary Snodgrass, Nicholas Patrick, David Starnes, Scott Wooliver, James Connor, Evan Bach, Carly and Kennedy Sweeney, Brother Jeff's brother. And did your mama come through her stuff? Didn't she have something coming up Monday? Yes, ma'am.
To the Heart Center.
To the Heart Center? Praise the Lord. Anyone else got any prayer needs? With the headache. And I would have said he was crazy if my boy hadn't had the same things. That's only the second one I've ever heard of. But Talmadge went through a time where he had it, and it was migraines in your guts. Really? Mm-hmm. No. We have unique children and grandchildren. Mm-hmm. God bless her. We're going to keep praying that away, Lord Jesus. Anyone else? Anyone else?
Buddy Hill.
Buddy Hill. Praise the Lord. Miss Wilma Jean told me to watch out for canned biscuits. She had went to move a canned biscuits in her refrigerator from one shelf to the other, and the rim caught her front of her shin and cut her. Just one of those freak things that happen. Anybody else? All right, we'll remind you that the altar is always open, and we can do nothing greater than to go to our knees on behalf of one another. And don't forget our lost. Lift them up. But let's go to the Lord in word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, in Jesus' name, it is good to be in your house and to be with your people tonight. God, I thank you, Lord, for looking out for me, for watching over me and taking care of my family and my home, taking care of my friends, Heavenly Father, Lord, and that you're good and that you do all things well. And Lord, I ask you to forgive me of my sins and my shortcomings and where I fail you. And Lord, tonight as we come before you, we're thankful. I'm thankful for the privilege of prayer. Lord, not only is it a privilege, but it's an obligation that you have called us to. And so tonight, Lord, we pray on behalf of those, Heavenly Father, that may be lost and undone in their sins, Lord, that tonight you will call them. We believe and know that, Lord, only you can draw to salvation, only you can save. And so, God, I pray and ask you, Holy Spirit, through your word and by your power, won't you go forth and draw those, all those names that we have on our list. The 200 and something are just a drop in the bucket at the millions and millions around the globe that if they died tonight, they would spend an eternity in hell. So, Lord, give us a burden for lost souls and let us seek the next soul, just one more soul for your kingdom. Heavenly Father, Lord, also we pray for those tonight that's having physical procedures. As we think of Bo Taylor, we think of Sister Teresa and all that they've come through today or are going through. And then we think of Sister Wilma Jean, Lord, and the legs and that she's the pain she's going through. We lift them up to you, knowing that you are the great physician. And God, we pray if it be your will that you bring healing in all of these cases, Heavenly Father, Lord, that you just touch their bodies, Heavenly Father, Lord, and give the doctors wisdom on how and what to do. And Heavenly Father, Lord, we pray for those tonight, Lord, that are depressed, marriages that are being attacked, Heavenly Father, Lord, those that are dealing with financial issues or whether it be family issues, God, you are bigger than whatever the problem is at hand. And God, I'm thankful that this is also not the end, but we have a hope of a home in glory. Lord, that you're coming back, you're going to take us, and forever and ever we'll be with you. The flesh and sin will be nothing but a memory. Heavenly Father, Lord, and God, we pray that you hasten the day, as it says in the book of Revelations, even so, Lord, or Revelation, even so, Lord, come now. God, I give you all the praise, honor, and glory, and it's in Jesus' name, amen. And amen. All right, tonight is our midweek prayer and refresh or refuel. And so I want to read and want to talk. I want to go on a little bit more about the spiritual garden that Brother Otis talked about. I don't remember what he said in his devotional that night. I think Lettuce was in there and something else. But tonight I want to talk a little bit different about the fruits of the Spirit. And we are to have a spiritual garden, and we need to be tending to that spiritual garden. But the thing is about a spiritual garden is that it produces tangible fruit. It produces things that are able to be seen or able to be felt or able to be used for the glory of the kingdom of God. But the thing as well is not only are there fruits of the Spirit for those of us who have accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, but in the natural realm there is fruit of humanity. There is fruit of a fallen individual who is still in their trespasses and sin and never received Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. So just remain seated tonight, and we're going to pick up in Galatians chapter 5, beginning in verse 16. I say then, walk by the Spirit, and you will certainly not carry out the desires of the flesh. The King James uses the word lust of the flesh there. For this flesh desires what is against the Spirit, and the Spirit desires what is against the flesh. These are opposed to each other, so that you don't do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now, Paul's writing there is very similar to what he writes over in the book of Romans, chapter 7, leading into chapter 8, when he talks about the law of the flesh and the law of grace, and he finds that civil war, that internal civil war, always being fought, that when he wants to do the will of God, he finds himself struggling with the will or the desire, the lust of the flesh. Galatians 5, verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, moral impurity, promiscuity, adultery, sorcery, hatreds, strife, jealousy, outburst of anger, selfish ambitions, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and any other thing, and anything similar. I am warning you about these things, as I warned you before, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The law is not against such things. Now those who belong to Jesus Christ, to Christ Jesus, have crucified the flesh with all its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another or envying one another. And may God add the blessings to the scripture tonight. But as I was thinking today and earlier in the week, and I thought about what Brother Otis, when he taught about the garden and what we should have in our garden, if you think about Scripture, the idea of a Christian being a fruit-bearing plant or a product-bearing tree is all through the Gospels. Matthew chapter 12, verses 33 through 35. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For a tree is known by its fruits. Brood of vipers, how can you speak good things when you are evil? For the mouth speaks from the overflow of the heart. A good man produces good things from his storeroom of good, and an evil man produces evil things from his storeroom of evil. We see that he's talking about the trees, that the tree produces something, and then another tree produces something else. So you don't expect to find oranges on an apple tree, and vice versa, you don't expect to find apples on an orange tree. See, Christ is discussing the product of a certain plant, and that's the way we name plants. Lots of times in trees, we got pecan trees, we got rose bushes, tobacco plants, cotton, you name it, and we have all those different kinds. And like we said, we talked about tobacco, and there's other things. And the product of those plants can be beneficial, or they can be harmful. The idea, again, of the flowering plant or the fruit-giving tree is seen all through. You remember the sower, the parable of the sower over in Matthew chapter 13. Remember, there were four soils, but it's not about the soil, it's about the sower and the seed. And remember, there were the first one, it was devoured, it was thrown on the cart path, and the birds of the air, which is a picture of the scavengers, of Satan himself, that would rob the seed. And then the next seed, you remember, it was a little bit in rocky soil, I believe it was. And it didn't grab hold and never got to a point that it could produce. The next one got strangled out by the thorns and the thistles. And then the last one that fell on good soil, you remember it says that it produced fruit. Some 30, I think that's how it goes, some 30, some 60, and some 100 or something like that, that we all don't produce the same amount of fruit. But what do we see there? We see that only one produces the plant that produces fruit. And then what about the true vine? You remember that? He talks about how he is the vine and we are the branches. The only way that we can bear fruit is to abide in him. But again, we see the picture of being fruit bearers, being known by the product of our lives. And then in Matthew chapter 7, verses 16 through 18, and I believe that this is still the Sermon on the Mount, he says this, "You will recognize them by their fruit. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes, or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears fruit, good fruit, and the diseased trees bear bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit." And so tonight, that's what we're looking. We're going to be looking at two options. You know, the as we study more and more, it just seems like God just makes a lot of things easy. It's either one or the other. Either you're saved or you're not saved. Either you're on the narrow path or you're on the wide path. Either you're producing bad fruit or you're producing good fruit. And so tonight we're going to look at it, and we've got to recognize that the only way that we are able to bear fruit, just like he said, you abide in me, I am the vine, you are the branches. The only way that we're able to bear fruit is through the person and the power of the Holy Spirit living in our life from the day that we got saved. Look there in verses 16 through 18 of Galatians chapter 5. Say then, walk by the Spirit, and you will certainly not carry out the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is against the Spirit, and the Spirit desires what is against the flesh. I mean, it's totally opposing one another. I mean, and then it says, they are opposed to each other, so you do not do what you want to do. So if you are led by the Spirit, then you are not under the law, meaning that we have been set free. We're under the law of grace. We, as Christians, we're under the law of grace as long as we're abiding in the Holy Spirit. Notice it says that the desires of the flesh, and again, the King James says that it's the lust of the flesh. It is a yearning for, a passion for. Many words, as I studied today about what it means to have the lust of the flesh, it means a pulling to, a craving, or a thirst. And not every body's going to thirst or crave after the same thing. Some it'll be drugs and alcohol. To others it'll be gossip. To others it'll be sexual immorality. But our flesh finds fulfillment in certain things. And we're drawn to it. We're pulled to it. And because why? Because sin appeals and satisfies our human body. Remember, the writers of Scripture didn't put on like sin or the fulfillment of the flesh wasn't something to be desired or enjoyable. Remember in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 24 and 25, talking about the heroes of the faith and Moses, it says that he had, when he had grown up, refused to be called the sons of Pharaoh's daughter, and chose to suffer with the people of God rather than enjoy the short-lived pleasures of sin. So sin is pleasurable to this old body and to the man or woman that we are. However, it is a short-lived pleasure, and that we need to, do we choose the pleasure now or do we choose that which is to come? And so as we think about living for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, we recognize that if we're going to, just like we talked about Sunday morning, and we looked at that Philippians chapter 4, verse 7, where he talks about that he will supply peace beyond all understanding and that the Lord himself will guard what? It'll guard our hearts and our minds. It'll guard our emotions and our intellect. And you know what? That's usually what leads us astray. Either we feel or we want, there's that emotion, or either we rationalize it in our brain why it's okay right now. You know, I mean, those are the two things. That's why we don't think with the mind of ourselves. We don't have the emotions that we don't go by our own emotions. We don't go by our human intellect. But we are led by the Spirit of God through His truth instead of emotions and rational thinking. Well, irrational thinking, depending on how you're looking at it. But notice, in Ephesians chapter 1, as we're going to be studying on Sunday nights, we are sealed by the Holy Spirit. Amen? On the day that we've got saved, God breathed a new breath into us, or life, just as we see it over in the book of Genesis, when he created Adam and Eve, and it says that he breathed the breath of life in them and gave them physical life. Well, on the day that you and I got saved, though we didn't see it and maybe we didn't feel the gust, the breath of the Holy Spirit moved into our bodies somewhere, and he lives within us. But not only does he live within us, he has given life to the spirit which was dead inside of us, so that now we can respond and live for the glory of the Lord. But not only did he seal us, meaning that No, I praise God. His mark is on my forehead. I have already been sealed and sanctioned for the glory of the Lord. But also we have been empowered. Will somebody read Philippians chapter 2, verse 13? We have been empowered by the Holy Spirit. And what we're going to see here is, if somebody is looking it up, we're going to see that not only do we get the power to live for the Lord Jesus Christ or to produce those fruits of the Spirit from the Holy Spirit, but we also get the desire to do it from the person of the Holy Spirit. Has anybody found it? Brother Paul? And you know, if we don't have a desire to live for the Lord, that's where we need to be checking it out. You know, do I want to live for the Lord? Do I want? Because if we don't have that desire, then that means either one, we're not saved, or two, our flesh is overriding the truth of the Holy Spirit that lives within us. Amen. It's either one or the other. So so now we get into there about verse, verse 19. We're looking at verse 19. No, let's start in verse 17, at the end of verse 17. I like the way that the ESV, or the Christian Standard and the English Standard put it. It just says, basically, both of them are opposed to one another. They're not in line with one another. And I want you to see, and what we're seeing here, to serve the Lord Jesus in the power of the Holy Spirit. Yes, we've been sealed on that day. But every day we have to make a cognitive and deliberate decision that today I'm not going to walk in the flesh. I'm not going to live for myself, but I'm choosing to live for Christ in the power and in the person of the Holy Spirit. Notice he says that if we are willing to be led by the Spirit, there in verse 18, that we are not under the law. So now we begin to look into the natural man's garden, or the natural woman's, the human being garden. Those that do not know the Lord Jesus Christ are going to produce a certain product. There's going to be some, remember he said, you'll know them by their fruits. Amen. And so that every life produces something. And so the natural man's garden, notice it says in verses 19, 20, and 21, Paul lays out the works of the flesh that are obvious. I mean, basically he's just saying, man, you don't have to look hard to see what the fruit or the garden of the fallen sinful man is. He says, sexual, and here's the deal. Depending on what Bible you have, some there in verse 19, the King James gives four, but the English Standard and the Christian Standard only give three: sexual immorality, moral impurity, and promiscuity. What does the King James say? And lewdness. See, they got one more. There's one more. So on this list of the natural man's fruit, it's going to be anywhere from 16 to 17. He says in verse 20, also adultery, sorcery, hatreds, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambitions, dissensions, factions. Now in verse 21, envy, drunkenness, murder, carousing, and any similar thing. I am writing you to the, I am warning you about these things as I warned before. Those who practice, meaning that those who are in a lifestyle pattern of these things, not, I mean, it's one thing, we are all sinners and we all stumble, but the pattern, again, if the idea is when you go to the fig tree, what do you expect to see? Figs. That's because of what it is. And so as we look, the first one is sexual immorality. Now, specifically here, it's talking about adultery. Sexual unfaithfulness outside of the marriage bed. The marriage bed is special to God. And thus, it should be special to us. It is one of the basic fundamental parts of society. And God says that sexual activity should be limited to the bonds of marriage. And that kind of tells us where our society is at, because anymore it's seen as scratching somebody on the back. Oh, well, you know, you got these things where you can flip and flip left, flip right, and do all this, and you just, I mean, it's just, everything is about sexuality anymore. And I feel so sorry for our children, because it's getting less and less. It's getting deeper and deeper, younger and younger. People are being introduced to the perversion that the world has placed on sex. And in the bounds of marriage, it's not dirty. It's not ugly. It's not anything that should be ashamed of. Matter of fact, society has flipped it. Those of us that are inside the church and have been saved, we seem to get a little red-faced and cover our eyes when the topic comes up, when the world is owning it. They're not ashamed of it. Matter of fact, we're going to talk about it in a little bit. They no longer hide it in the back rooms or doing it in the dark, but they walk down Main Street proclaiming it and being excited for the perversions that they're living in. Any thoughts on that? But, and also, it is one of the Ten Commandments. Again, it's that special. It goes all the way back to creation. And then the next one is moral impurity. The Bible, the other one, King James lists fornication. In the Greek, the word is P-O-R-N-I-A. Porneia. Take off the I-A and you have porn, where we get the word pornography from. It's a broad meaning here. It's all forms and manner of sexual sins that's outside of marriage. But it also carries with it the idea of abnormality, that it's not even in the way that God created it or intended it to be. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3, it says, "For this is God's will, your sanctification, that you abstain from sexual immorality." And then you can look also in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18, Colossians chapter 3, verse 5, and you see the abnormal, you know, how it says over in Romans chapter 1, that the Lord, and we're going to talk about this more in a minute, but that God gives them over to a reprobate mind, a mind that doesn't want to think about godliness or righteousness, so God just takes it all out of the way. And what's left? Abnormal decline. The next one, I think, and this would kindly be there's promiscuity. The word here, I think the King James uses unclean, but it means to be polluted, impure. That which is outside of the Creator's moral guidelines. Here it is, Romans chapter 1, verse 24. "Therefore God delivered them up over to the cravings of their hearts," their own desires, "to sexual impurity, so that their bodies were degraded among themselves." The next is, and this is again, these are what's found in the natural man's garden. This is what is being produced in the life of those that do not have a relationship with Jesus Christ. The next one is lasciviousness or lasciviousness. Another word is sensuality. It's the idea of shameless indecency. No longer hiding perverse actions, but openly declaring it and putting the stamp of right. Remember, the Bible talks about woe unto those who call good evil and evil good. Well, that's what we're living in USA today. Everything, anything that you can come up with that's against God, we live in a society that condones it and promotes it and demands we accept it. It's not just let live and let live anymore. But we not only have to see it, but we have to agree that there's nothing wrong, or else we are the bad guys. Any thoughts before we go any further? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 19, concerning lasciviousness or sensuality. "They became callous And he gave them over to promiscuity for the practice of every kind of impurity with a desire for more and more. And isn't that what's happening? I mean, a year ago we had non-binary sexuality where they are 150 different, and now they're adding on to the LGBTQ, XYZ, and all that. I mean, literally, when you look it up anymore, it is just anything other than normal. I challenge you to look it up because it's got a 2+. I mean, literally, it has a 2+ in it now, the acronym. It's ridiculous. Any thoughts? I mean, but we see it. The next one is, and now we're moving into verse 20, okay? Just in case I lost you, we're jumping into verse 20 there. This one is adultery. And again, it doesn't have to be like we talked about Demetrius on Sunday night, the silversmith, and he was making the physical representations of Diana so that people could take them home and worship. Yes, that's flat out adultery. I mean, they're literally bowing down to an idol. But it doesn't have to be physical. It can also be just a mental thing that we've raised up. And remember, over in Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 17, when it's describing Lucifer, when it's describing Satan, one of the biggest things was your heart was lifted up because he thought he was the cat's meow. He thought he should have been above God. And that's what we do. We lift our hearts, our emotions, right? Our emotions lift us up, and we deserve this and we deserve that, and how dare they do this and how dare they do that to me. You see how we're being led by our emotions, and we elevate ourselves to be the God of our own lives if we're not careful. And I'd say that today, that's probably, I mean, what is the most common picture that is taken today? A selfie. We live in a narcissistic society now. And people think, well, look how good I am. The whole world ought to see how good I look today. Or I'm mad and I want everybody in this world to know. It blows my mind. Amy can keep up with me and the youngins anymore. I tell her it ain't fair. You shouldn't be able to track. My parents couldn't track me when I was a teenager. So probably they've got less white hair because of that, you know. Huh? Yeah, but it probably did them best that they didn't. That they couldn't. Hey, I asked somebody, time out on the lesson. I asked somebody the other day, because Maddie's going to UT in just a few months. And I said, what, as a father who's already had children go through college and all that, I said, what would be the greatest advice you could give me? And literally, this is what he said. You don't want to know everything. He says, it's best for you not to know everything. And I thought, that's a big amen, brother. That's what I need. But that's what we live in. Everybody wants you to know, or the majority. Well, I mean, there is no secrets much anymore. I mean, it's on blast, you know. They know where you're at. They'll call and ask you, are you in Walmart? Will you pick me something up while you're at Walmart? And different things. Any thoughts on the stalker nation we live in now? Mama's a stalker. And daddy ain't. That's the difference. That was me talking to my wife, for those of you that's on. Nah. Let's move on, okay? Keep me out of trouble. All right, we got to get out. All right, this is next one is kind of neat, okay? With the King James, what does King James use? Witchcraft? Okay. But if you look up the word, the word in the Galatians here in the Christian Standard is sorcery. But if you look up the word in Greek, the word is pharmakeia or pharmakeia. If you take off everything, the word pharm, what is that? What do we have in an English word that sounds like that? Pharmacy, pharmaceuticals. Well, listen to the definition. the use of or administering of medicines, drugs, or spells, and sometimes used in pagan religions, such as the indigenous Americans. They would take mushrooms or peyote and they would mix it up and it would cause them to have a type of trip or whatever. And you know, we have pharmacies around here that they have to mix things specially because you can't get it, you know, specially. And so you want me to show you somewhere else it's used. Listen, in Revelation chapter 9, verse 21, it says, "And they would not repent of their murders, and they would not repent of their sorceries, their pharmakia, their sexual immorality, or their thefts." What it is talking about is drugs. The wrong use of drugs to a place. I mean, how many of people have took meth and said they seen demons and stuff like that? Could it be that that opens us up to a realm we're not supposed to be looking into? But would you not agree that rampant running over our country is the battle of pharmaceuticals, whether it be legitimately produced or whether it be methamphetamines made in some house or whatever? It is still the idea of the administering. I could get into some more of that, but any thoughts on that? The next one is hatred. This is simply hostility that lingers in a deep-held opposition. 1 John chapter 4, verse 20 says, "If anyone says, 'I love God,' yet hates his brother, or he is a liar, for the person who does not love his brother has not seen God, nor can they love." So the idea of, and we're going to talk about love, I don't know if we'll get to it tonight, but we're going to talk about that type, what love is, when we look at the fruits of the Spirit. The next one is strife. Simply the idea of variance. It's to sow discord and contention, to fight and to blow things out of proportion. Proverbs 17:14 or 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 4. "He is conceited, understanding nothing, but has a sick interest in disputes and arguments over word. From these come envy, quarreling, slander, and evil suspicion." Emulations, or simple jealousy. This is a long-held desire to have what another one has. That could be the honor, the position they have, the recognition they get, the fame, or maybe it could be something like their house, their car, or whatever. It's the fact that we want something that someone else has, and really, we're mad because they have it. Then there is the next one, wrath, I think it is, but the Christian Standards uses outburst of anger. Quick-tempered, emotional reactions instead of a deliberate and spiritual response. You see, we respond when we allow the Holy Spirit to do the work through us, but when we let emotions carry us, usually it's a reaction, a knee-jerk. You do this and then I'm going to do that. That's just what happens. That's why we have to learn how to walk in the power of the Spirit concerning outbursts of anger. James chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. "My dearly beloved, understand this. Everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For man's anger does not accomplish the righteousness of God." And if we react in anger, then it's going to be hard for us later on to respond in the Spirit and have the same influence on their life. When you don't know what to say, don't say nothing. Even a fool is perceived as wise when we keep our mouth shut. Any thoughts? The next is selfish ambition. Basically, the idea here is dividing, and specifically talking about the body of Christ, dividing the body of Christ so that self or self-gain would be accomplished. Philippians 2:3, "Do nothing out of rivalry or conceit, but in humility consider others as more important than yourselves." And that's the thing. If we consider others, their benefit, their wisdom, then we won't put ourselves before anything and or anyone. Dissensions, seditions. This is a rebellion or division, a splitting off of the main group. And if you remember, I think that that's what Barabbas was accused of, was seditions, because the idea was what they were, he was leading a small group against the leadership and the authority of Rome. Isaiah 30, verse 1, "Woe to the rebellious children. The Lord, this is the Lord's declaration. They carry out a plan, but not mine. They make alliances, but against my will, piling sin on top of sin." The next is closely tied to dissensions or seditions, and it's the idea of factions, which is, heresy. This would be heresies, the rejection of fundamental teachings and beliefs in God. And one of the reasons that those heresies come in is because false teachers or false leaders, they think, well, they can follow me, and you leave the true teachings of the Lord. I mean, do you think Jim Jones' group started out, we're going to go to Guyana and die, kill ourselves? No, but what he did was he led them off, away from the fundamental truths, which led them to believing in lies. Verse 21, and this is, we got to speed up. Envy. Now, envy goes beyond jealousy, because we've already talked about jealousy, right? Envy carries with it the spirit of not only wanting the fame, wanting the house, or wanting the recognition, but not only do you want it, but you're mad at the one who has it. You see the difference? When you're jealous, you just want the thing. When you get to a place of envy, you're like, how dare you have something that I deserve, or how dare you have something that I want? So you're mad at the person because God's blessed them, or that they've been blessed. Proverbs 23, 17 and 18. Don't let your heart envy sinners. Instead, always fear the Lord, for then you will have a future and your hope will not fade. So the next one is murder. The idea there is to take a life, senseless killing. Matthew chapter 19, verse 18, drunkenness, which is not only taking of alcohol to satisfy a physical desire or to feel pleasure, but also the idea of drugs as well, that you're misusing them. And then the last one would be carousing or reveling. And this one, Kylie, I think, sums up the culture in America right now. An uncontrolled lifestyle lived to the fulfillment of pleasuring the flesh. Full out indulgence of whatever physically satisfies. It don't matter what it is. If it feels good, do it. Uncontrolled living for the pleasures of the flesh. 2 Peter chapter 2, beginning in verse 12, "But these people, like irrational animals, creatures of instinct, born to be caught and destroyed, speak blasphemies about things they don't understand, and in their destruction they too will be destroyed, suffering harm as a payment for unrighteousness. They consider it a pleasure to carouse in the daytime. They are spots and blemishes, delighting in their own deceptions as they feast." I mean, that's a pretty good description, isn't it? No longer is it done in the darkness, but in daylight. And we want you to see how far we've divulged, how perverted and perverse we can be. But and so, a lot of us, we may not be living in sexual immorality or murdering somebody, but many, many people that sit in a pew on Sunday mornings place their own wants and desires above the will and purpose of God in their life. Many people have issues with anger. uncontrolled. Hey, I'm realizing this, that a part of me being submissive to the person of the Holy Spirit is learning to eat right and take care of my body. That's a part of self-discipline, or temperance is what it's called there. When I say temperance, what comes to your mind? Prohibition. That's what goes to mind. You remember it was the prohibition and temperance from, I think it was 1920 to 1933. That was it was illegal to drink in America. And that's how we got NASCAR, is through it, really and truly. Go to Dollywood. She tells the whole story. I mean, you can act like you're running with old Smokey Roberts or whatever his name was. So any thoughts on what we've looked at tonight? I'm sorry we aren't going to be able to finish it, but what we looked at tonight are the fruits or the product that is produced when someone does not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, or when someone is backslidden and living. But it's hard sometimes to know, am I saved or am I not, when you're living for self. But next week we'll look at the fruits of the Spirit. And there's so many, 16 or 17 fruits of the natural man. Just like the way is broad, there's a whole lot. But when we get to the fruits of the Spirit, it gets down to about 8 or 9. And love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control or temperance. And we'll look at that next Wednesday night. All right, any thoughts on tonight's lesson? How's your garden looking? How's your spiritual garden looking? Oh, don't tell me. But just think about it, all right? Anything before we close? All right, brother. Oh, who am I going to call on tonight? Brother Keith, would you come close us out in a word of prayer? I almost called on Chris Cole, so you better be ready next time. I almost did. I'm giving you a warning. This is a warning shot, okay? There was, wasn't it? I was looking at him hard. Let's
get a little shirt. Let's pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you, dear God, for this opportunity to be in your house to learn your word, Lord. And we just thank you, dear God, for all that you do for us. I just pray that you'd be with each and every one as they leave this place tonight. Give them traveling mercies back home. And still, Lord, we remember the sick. Most of all, we remember the sin sick.
Yes, Jesus.
Forgive us, Lord, when we fail you. For it's these things we ask in your precious holy name. Amen.
Amen.